A query sent by the internet. For me, the principle regarding gambling is not clear. Some leaders state that forex and similar things are allowed. Some others say it is prohibited. The same situation with football and other games. Can someone explain it? This is a perennial query. Is trading in stocks and shares allowed for devotees? Does it fall under gambling? Here, the specific thing that's been mentioned is forex, foreign exchange. People make money and lose money if they're not lucky or doing it properly. By on the internet, purchasing foreign exchange, when the rate is low of one currency against another, expecting it to go up, and when it goes up, you sell before it starts to topple. And this way you make money. There are all kinds of things like this. Hedge funds, futures, precious metals, cryptocurrency, pyramid schemes. They're all similar. Not all exactly the same, but very similar. Well, what does Srila Prabhupada say about gambling? Here is a quote from one of Srila Prabhupada's first writings. This is from the Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, text number 6. So it's really very near the beginning of Srila Prabhupada's message to the world. Srila Prabhupada wrote, "The four major vices are 1. Illicit connection with women, 2. Animal slaughter, 3. Intoxication, 4. Speculative gambling of all sorts." See that word speculative. Then from Nectar of Instruction, verse 7, purport. This was written much later. I believe that would be 74 or 75. Referring to a devotee, Srila Prabhupada writes, "Nor is he interested in wasting his time in speculating or gambling." Back to 1968, and a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, "This rule, no gambling, does this include speculation of various types?" Prabhupada's reply, "Yes, speculation is gambling." Now, what exactly is meant by speculation here? Speculation can mean in business, and it can mean mental speculation, a term that Srila Prabhupada may be coined and used often, mental speculation. Devotees are not meant to mentally speculate. They're meant to imbibe the message of Shastra and see through the eyes of Shastra, honed with the instructions and example of Guru and Sadhu, our own immediate Guru, and Sadhu, the tradition, and other eminent acharyas. So speculation can mean mental speculation, and it can also mean in business, as Srila Prabhupada writes again in the first canto, chapter 17, text 38, "Gambling of all description, even speculative business enterprise, is considered to be degrading." But mental speculation is also linked with gambling. In a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote in 1970, stating the four regulative principles, he wrote, "No gambling or mental speculation." Regarding gambling, we have in Bhagavad Gita, "Dyutam chalayatam asmi." This is in the Vibhuti Yoga section, chapter of Gita, in which Krishna talks about various phenomena in the material world which can be considered as representative of Krishna. They're the prime examples, sthavaranam himalayaha, among immovable objects. I am the Himalayas. There are so many like this. Mrigarnam cha mrigendro, mrigendroham. I'm the lion among the animals. So among chala, among cheating, Krishna says, dutam. I am also the gambling of cheats. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, there are many kinds of cheaters all over the universe. Of all cheating processes, gambling stands supreme and therefore represents Krishna. So we shouldn't think that because gambling represents Krishna, that gambling is something good. It's cited as the pinnacle of cheating. So just like the Himalayas are the greatest of all immovable objects, so the greatest kind of cheating is gambling. It doesn't recommend that we engage in gambling. This word chal, it's a common word in at least North Indian languages up to the present day. And it still has that meaning of trickery, deceit. Monier Williams, Sanskrit English Dictionary. Words are given such as synonyms or translations of the word chal. Fraud, deceit, sham, guise, pretense, delusion, semblance, fiction, feint, F-E-I-N-T, trick, fallacy, wickedness, and so on. Deceit. Then that can be further understood, going to an English dictionary. Dishonest or illegal methods used by a person or organization in order to get something or to make people believe that something is true when it is not. Just like regular gambling. When we think of gambling, we don't usually think of the respectable businessman. As a child, I used to see in the morning before I went to school so many men walking to the station because our house was close to the railway station, going to commute into London with their bowlers and brollies and pinstripe suits, which was the uniform, the unofficial uniform at the time of stockbrokers and others in similar fields. Respectable people. Usually not very nice people, as far as I remember. But anyway, they're respectable. If you have money, you're respectable. But we don't think of that as gambling. What do we think of? We think of casinos, lotteries, one-armed bandits, bingo. And the promise, the idea is that you can go and win a lot of money. Oh, what else is there? There's so much gambling on sports. Yeah, Ladbrokes, I'm just remembering in England, Ladbrokes, and there are other companies. The football pools, so many. So betting on the horses. That's what we generally think of as gambling. And high-class gambling is to bet on the horses. And the football, that's lower class. It's a funny thing. It's all low class. Anyway, the promise is that you can get a lot of money quickly. Bet on a horse, which is only 12 to 1 to win the race. And if the horse wins, then you get your money 12 times over, whatever you invested or gambled with. Minus the tax, which the government takes, at least from, dare I say it, my experience before I came to Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. So that's what we generally think of as gambling. But the 12 to 1 is a high odd because the people who are running the gambling, they've got it all worked out that sometimes they definitely, some of the horses that some of the horses that they are betted on, they're going to win. So they know they're going to have to pay out every time, but they have it calculated. If the odds are 12 to 1, they don't give much chance of winning at all, and hardly anyone will bet on it. But the promise is there. You go in the casino, and the casino may even be set up with in-house people winning on the roulette. But it's in-house people, just to encourage others to... I've seen on the street in London illegal gambling with cards or something. When we're selling books in Oxford Street, that someone will just put out some, quickly put out a table, put down some cards, ask people to put some money, and then they put their money, and then the guy wins, and then people come around and they look, and then again the guy wins, and he puts down £10, and he gets £100 back, and people are looking, and they all want it. They all want to do it and put their money, and then they all put their money and they all lose, and they say, well, just try one more time, and they put their money and they lose, and then they pack up quick, especially if the police are coming. And it's the guy who wins in the first place, he's part of the trick. No one wins. In the casino, someone wins from time to time, but it's such an addiction that you want to say, oh, I won so much, so I have to win some more. And they'll have beautiful girls there to encourage you also, often. And then you lose it all. Or you lose, and you lose, and you lose, and you think, oh, I've got to win it all back. And then you just go on losing, and people become paupers. Not even overnight, in a matter of minutes it can be. So this is what we generally think of as gambling. It's the promise of quick, unearned gain, but there's also the risk of losing it all. The risk is exciting. The idea that, oh, it's a risk. So actually, everything's a risk. Even if you just, can you think of something where there's no risk? Well, just walking down the street in a peaceful town where there's not very low crime rate, well, you still could get mugged. Might be the first mugging ever in a town. Are there any towns like that in the world? Maybe. Or it may be a very rare occurrence. Or you could just trip and break a bone or have some kind of injury. It may be that a car veers off the road and hits you. You never know. There might be an earthquake, or a nuclear weapon lands on you, or a sniper snipes you. You think, well, that's not very likely. It's not really a risk. Well, when it gets very, very low probability, then we don't think it's a risk. But, you know, there are shootings. All it's become quite common, right? Just someone gets a gun and opens up and kills a bunch of people in very ordinary situations. In Canada, they used to say that happens in America. Now it's happening in Canada too, and it'll probably come everywhere. So it's not safe even to walk on the street. But there's a risk, that's the point. There's a risk in everything. But some things are more risky than others. And gambling is risky. So stocks and shares, and I'm coming back to that later. How risky is it? Everything, there's a risk. But if we are always afraid of risk, I can't walk on the street because I might fall over and break my bones. Then we become mentally imbalanced, paranoid, and we can't operate in the world at all. And even if we sit down, we think, well, someone might just come in and attack me, or there might be a bomb in the chair. It's not absolutely impossible, but it's highly unlikely that the billions of time that people sit down on a chair in the world, it's the number of times that they sit down on a chair with a live bomb that's meant to kill you is extremely low. But you never know. But if we get completely freaked out that I'm going to, then we become a nervous wreck. Unnecessarily. So everything's risky, but some things are more risky than others. And people, sometimes they don't realize, even driving a car, it's very risky, actually. Especially going along at, say, 70 kilometers an hour, and it seems quite good on the highway, but it's very risky. You know, the tire may burst, anything can happen. I've experienced once, too. We were just driving in Bangladesh years ago, and a couple of kids ran out. But we swerved, and luckily we hit the edge of a bridge, and if we'd have just been half a meter further over, we would have gone way down, and I wouldn't be here speaking to you today. So driving is always risky. But some driving is more risky than others, and they have Formula One racing, and one of the, it is the speed and the risk make it entertaining. You could put a speed limit on racing, but then where would be the fun? Then it would be just like you see in America on the highways, a whole bunch of vehicles going together in a big group at the speed limit. They don't go faster than the speed limit. They're all going together in a big group. So where's the risk? Well, someone could fall asleep, and they're tailgating someone and fall asleep, and someone crashes into them behind. There's always a risk. But the risk involved in Formula One racing, it's really fast. But it's less risk for the experienced driver. Someone who's used to driving maximum 65 miles an hour, it is in most states, at least that I know of in America, on a highway with everyone following rules, and then if they were to get into a car, I don't really know much about all this, but if they were to get into, they're shown how to control the car and everything, whatever it is, Ferrari or whatever company it is, and then they say, okay, go. And even if you're driving not in a race, but if you try to go 150 kilometers an hour, it's going to be very difficult to control, especially on the corners. Well, not really. Yeah, the curves. What to speak of being in a race where they're trying to edge each other out. But for someone who is experienced, there's less of a risk. Srila Prabhupada spoke to a Formula One racing driver, Graham Hill. He came to meet Srila Prabhupada. He died from a racing accident. So you may be expert, but there's always a risk. One of the greatest racing drivers in history, what was his name? Schumacher. Michael Schumacher. He was one of the greatest. But he had to retire due to a terrible accident, but not from racing. From skiing, because skiing's also risky. And that was fun. It's fun. It's fun to take risks. It gets the adrenaline going. You feel like it's fun. We take fun. But the problem is with gambling that... Well, let's go back. No, the point I'm making here. But my point, that for one who's trained and experienced, there's less risk in driving a racing car and racing in a race. And actually, they wouldn't allow anyone unless they're trained and experienced in that level of driving. So there's less risk. But for one who's not train. You may be an experienced city driver, and you may have been driving for 40 years and not had any serious accident, but it can happen any day, even for someone who's been driving for 40 years. But it'll going to be very risky to suddenly try to graduate to Formula One racing driving. It's a different level altogether. So gambling is risky, and that's part of the attraction, isn't it? That it's a risk. And it seems like something very manly. It might seem like that to go and, oh, I don't care. And they make it seem very, well, in the casinos, they make it seem very respectable. You have to, there's a dress code and you have to have a bow tie and all this kind of thing. So it's for to extract big money out of people. But gambling means cheating you. You can win, but over, and you may win a lot of money, but overall, the casinos and the one-armed bandits and the lotteries, it's all set up for the people who are running them to win in the long run. And others may win from time to time, and that excites them to go on and excites others to join in with it also. But it's set up for the house, as it's called, to win. Because if they didn't win, they couldn't go on. It's their business, right? Why would they set it up and just at a risk if it's a 50-50 chance? It's not 50-50. It's much more stacked in favor of the house, the way things are set up. So they're cheating you we're cheating ourselves if we take to gambling. Because we should know that we are playing at what is overall unfair odds. But we are attracted to the possibility of winning nevertheless. Quick money. And that's a big problem with that. The idea is that we want to get something without the hard work. We want to get something quick. And generally, money that is got quickly is squandered quickly also. It's all highly in the mode of passion, where the intelligence, discrimination, they're out. Wisdom, there's no chance of that whatsoever. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, it destroys truthfulness. It destroys truthfulness because it's kind of cheating. And we find gambling addicts, they'll lie to their wives. Oh, I had to give money. I don't have any money because I don't have any money to give you this week because I had to lend it for my Uncle Joe for an operation or whatever. They lie, and how long can you go on lying? It gives the idea that money can be had without honest hard work. Just like the most famous gambling in the history of India is that of Shakuni with Yudhishthira, and they got the kingdom. The Kauravas got the kingdom of Indraprastha without any hard work, just by cheating at dice. Because I'm not sure exactly how it works, because later Yudhishthira himself became expert at dice, but I don't know where the expertise is in it. It seems to be completely chance, but maybe there's a way of throwing the dice. I don't know how that works. But the point is here that the Pandavas were cheated of their kingdom. And again, Yudhishthira, he could have opted out at some point and say, okay, enough is enough. But the description is given that he was goaded on more and more. No, I have to bet more and more and more and more. So it's addictive in that way, and it highly destroys the intelligence. Just like we find in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says how desire, gambling is very much based on desire and greed, kama and lobha, the desire to win, to be greedy, to get lots of money. And then the ultimate result is that smriti brangshad buddhi nasha, we forget what we're supposed to be doing, that this money, it's not just for me, it's for my family. I have a responsibility. Our intelligence becomes destroyed, and buddhi nashat pranashati. we become completely finished and destroyed. So this is, what are we talking about here? This is regular gambling and stocks and shares and forex and investing in futures and precious metals and cryptocurrency and all these kind of things. Well, it's business, isn't it? And it's not exactly the same. Business is, any business is risky because things, anything you do in this material world is risky, but business especially seems to be risky. We hear that of so many businesses started every year and very few survive for more than 2 years from the startup. Some click and they go quick. Then people make a lot of money quickly. But it's business. By having a good idea and implementing it, and they make money quick. That's by what we could call an honest business, as honest as business can be in the present age. So we shouldn't envy businessmen. Sometimes there's this communistic idea of pull down all the bourgeoisie, or the bourgeois, the capitalists. But if people make money by trading, maybe nowadays a lot of trading is trading in mental, or what they call intellectual ideas, writing programs, so on, for the internet. But wealth, if people have wealth, they've earned it. It's not just by some speculative business. They've contributed something to society. We shouldn't be envious of them, as long as their business is not exploitive to the extent of being evil. Probably most businesses are exploitive and can be seen as exploitive in some way or other. But there is a big difference between, again, getting back to that racing car example, there is a big difference between someone amateurishly trying to do something which requires professional skill. Now, there is the possibility that anyone who puts money, say you put money on the stocks of some company with the, so you get a tip, hey, it's going to go up quick. So invest and then sell again, and then you'll make lots of money quickly. But the people who make a living, like the stockbrokers I used to see day after day in my childhood, they're going day after day to the stock exchange and the City of London, and they're making reasonably good money, seems to be. They're living in their own private houses. But who are the people who make money regularly from this? They're people who have studied how the whole business system of the world works, and they know what they're doing. For them, it's not a horrendous risk like playing roulette in a casino. It's just risk with the odds stacked against you. But they're seeing very carefully. And nowadays, it's mostly computers. People, you can sit behind a computer and see how the stocks are going up and down. Okay, let me buy this one. And you have to have, you see the market trends. And there are so many different social factors and political factors involved. It's all very, very complex. But for some people, they make a living out of it year after year. Usually they don't invest. One of the things they do is they hedge their bets, which means they don't put all their money on one investment because they know they're going to lose some. And that's why you have hedge funds, which are managed by and overseen by people with very deep knowledge of the whole very, very complex workings and machinations of the world economy. And it is very complex. But some people have made it big. Warren Buffett, George Soros, they're famous for having made it big with hedge funds. But In India, you have things like the unit trust of India, and but even hedge funds, they can, with so many experts and hedging their bets, they can collapse also. It also happens. It's also a risk. So what's the point I'm getting at? The point is that stocks, it can be, dealing in stocks, it can be gambling for some. But if you know what you're doing, then it can be called one way of making a living. It's a gamble, it's a risk for someone to get in a racing car and start to drive it at this and think they can drive it at the same speed as a professional and think that they can get away without crashing. It's a gamble. They might be able to do, but it's very risky. Same way for someone who's inexperienced to enter into this kind of trading, it's very risky. So for what it may be gambling for one person, but not for another, depending on their level of expertise. And that's why people like to invest with established hedge funds. If you may not make so much money, but at least it seems to be somewhat. Yeah, it's if you have money, it's maybe better than putting it in the bank where you're going to lose, because the bank rates are generally less than the inflation rate. So overall, you lose. You could do other things like buying land. I didn't mention that, land investment. That's also somewhat risky. Here in India, it's been going on for years. It's still a standard thing. People buy land with the expectation that the price will go up. But this is generally long-term investment. It's not like gambling in the sense that you want to make a quick win. Some things, they may be on the borderline. We think card games is also gambling, but that's actually come up in court cases where gambling is prohibited and they're still having, some house is still running poker games or bridge or gin rummy or blackjack. Is it gambling? Because some skill is there. If you have a good brain, you can work it all out. There's also calling your bluff, and so it's also it's a psychological game. So is it, it's a game of chance with some skill, or is it a game of skill with some chance? It may be somewhat borderline. But anyway, devotees, that's the point. Devotees don't do this. Devotees don't waste their time playing poker. Vaishyas, they do business. Krishi gov raksha vanijam. Vaishyas do agriculture, cow protection, and vanija covers business, banking, and so on. And in this way, they do a service to society. Trading is also a service. For instance, grain is grown in the field by the farmer. But the trader, just being simplistic here, because in modern society it's often more complex than this, but the trader arranges to give a price, the same price to all the farmers in the area, so they don't all have to individually bargain. The farmer arranges for it to be taken to the city and milled, and then he sells wholesale. And in this way, he organizes the distribution. And then he sells wholesale to individual traders who they sit in their shop. And the wholesale trader and the retail trader, they make a profit, but they're doing something. They're making it available. Otherwise, for the average householder in a city, what does he do? Does he have to go individually to the village, collect the rice, arrange the whole rice grain, arrange for it to be husked and milled? It's impractical. So trading is also helps to make things available. You bring something which is wanted in one place, which is not available in that place, and for bringing it from one place to another, you make a profit. And that's quite reasonable, and that's been going on in human society for as long as human society's been existing. And that's, again, we don't have to be communistic and hate the businessmen if they're doing a service by making things available. However, this kind of gambling with gambling is one thing, and gambling can be with gold coins and cattle and so many things. But this stocks and shares and Forex and so on, it's based on a system of cheating, which is fiat money. The whole system at its core is cheating. And you don't really contribute anything to, you don't contribute anything substantial by gambling or speculating on stocks and shares and Forex and precious metals and this and that. Well, you could say, well, you're investing money by which the business can be built up. Not those who do short-term trading. And short-term can be very short. You can buy 1 second and in the next minute sell it. That's the kind of thing which the smart guys do. And they're doing that all day. Buy something here, sell it there at a profit. So it's not very suitable for devotees. It makes no material contribution to society. And especially if you're not very good at it, if you don't know what you're doing. I've known several devotees. Someone tells me, oh, I put money on the stock. Okay, I know the next sentence. You lost it all. They're lost heavily because someone gives them a tip. And that can also, that's improper practices which go on, that people spread rumors that something's going to go up, 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 and they artificially inflate it, and then, boom, they let it drop, and then they make a lot of money. So either way. What was that company? Enron? They artificially inflated their profits and to attract investors, and it was all just cheating, but in attracted people to invest money in them. If we're dealing in stocks and shares, then, and etc., then the tendency is, instead of thinking of Krishna all day, we're thinking of money, and we have to be always checking. In the middle of the night, even get up and check, watch the situation, can't sleep properly, full of anxiety, always watching how the stocks and shares are going up and down. Literally always thinking of money. We should be thinking of Krishna. And it makes you very materialistic. That's, maybe it's subjective, but yeah, thinking of money all the time is very materialistic, no doubt. Unless you give the money to Krishna. If you do make a lot of money by doing it, better don't do it. If you have done it and you've made money, give it to Krishna, at least 50%. Don't make a habit of it. I've seen that at least the area where I was living in as a kid, as a different stockbrokers, and they tend to be very closed up kind of people, not very jolly or friendly. They can't relax. They're always in tension, and they're always they always see themselves in competition with the world, I guess. They're always in tension. Now, as far as sports are concerned, I think I'll leave that for another session. So overall, is stock, shares, Forex, etc., all this kind of thing, is it gambling? Yes, for most people, and maybe not so much for others. That's all. But devotees shouldn't do it anyway. That's all I'm going to say now. And get back to our sports gambling on another occasion, Krishna willing. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kipa sindhu bhivacha. Patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya chernakang padayani patya kritvacha kakushata meta daham ravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat goranga chandra charane kuruta anuragaha. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mokaro navayang vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.